Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and you're listening to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. Welcome. My aim is to bring you down-to-earth, conversational episodes that help you develop a deeper understanding of how your body's changing in your 40s, and most importantly, how you can support yourself throughout this wonderful transitional phase of your life. Join me for my solo episodes and also episodes with guests for fun, fresh, truthful chat on all things health and happiness in your 40s. And now onto the episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. With me, your host, as always, Francesca Liparotti. So today it is the first week of the new year. So again, I said it last week, but I'll say it again, Happy New Year. And I really hope it started off well for you and that it's going to continue that way. So today's episode, I wanted to run through some of the signs of low B12, because similarly to what I said in my previous episode, if you have listened to that, when we were talking about checking for deficiencies in some of the key nutrients, because a lot of the symptoms of deficiencies can mimic some of those of the typical sort of perimenopause symptoms, as we talked about, like low mood, fatigue, depression, anxiety, heavy periods. So following on from that today, I wanted to talk specifically about B12. So if you're feeling tired, fatigued, maybe you've got muscle fatigue or weakness, that sort of, you know, feeling weak in your body, which is essentially muscle weakness, especially like standing up or just feeling less capable in the gym, let's say, or when you're walking, or you're feeling low in mood, depressed, irritable, anxious, you're definitely not alone if you're experiencing these symptoms. And symptoms and signs like this can be due to a number of things. You know, of course, they can be due to perimenopause. The change in hormones in perimenopause can bring about these symptoms. And everything I talk about and, you know, what I do in my day-to-day work is presenting you with the various nutrition and lifestyle habits that can support the changes that occur in perimenopause and reduce, manage these symptoms and help us to feel much better. But when it comes to potential nutrient deficiencies, this is, again, what I call low-hanging fruit. And in my one-to-one practice with clients, I'm always checking this from the start. And it's what I would, you know, I really want to encourage other people to be checking as well, because it is that low-hanging fruit. If you testing for B12 levels is easy to do, and so is correcting a deficiency in most cases. So yes, whilst these symptoms could just be chalked up to perimenopause, we also do want to take that, you know, that further step of really looking into other things and ruling them out. And so just in case, you know, if we're there with low B12 and we don't know, we can help these symptoms. That's something that I really wanted to discuss today. So according to some UK stats from the NHS, the prevalence of vitamin B12 deficiency is around 6% in people under 60, 20% in people over 60, and then 11% in people who follow vegan diets. So essentially those who don't eat animal foods, because animal foods are the richest sources of the active forms of B12. But this is only according to the data that we actually have. These numbers are probably much higher, particularly amongst the vegan population, because it's just the people who have been reported to, you know, have their levels tested. Many people don't get their levels tested. So some of these symptoms overlap with those of perimenopause, as I said. So it's really key in perimenopause that we don't just chalk everything up to estrogen and progesterone. Other imbalances also need investigating and addressing. If vitamin B12 is a nutrient that you're low in, it's easy to sort and it can make the world of difference to how you feel. So first, what is B12? So B12 is what is called a water-soluble vitamin. Its technical name is cobalamin. Vitamins are either water-soluble or fat-soluble. So I'll explain this first before we move on. So fat-soluble vitamins include vitamins A, D, E, and K. And water-soluble vitamins are things like all the B vitamins and vitamin C. The difference between fat and water-soluble is that water-soluble vitamins dissolve in water and they're absorbed directly into the bloodstream during digestion. They aren't stored in any large amounts within the body, and any excess amounts that you may make or take in are typically excreted through urine. So essentially it's hard to overdose on them, basically. But because they're not stored, water-soluble vitamins need to be consumed more regularly to maintain optimal levels in the body. Going back to B12, which is a water-soluble vitamin, so without regularly getting it in through the diet or supplement, we're not always going to have really good levels of it. So for that reason, it's considered an essential nutrient. Essential basically means we need to get this from our food or supplementation regularly. So which foods are rich in B12? So organ meats are some of the most nutrient-dense foods, lots of other nutrients in there, but also particularly for B12. So the liver and kidneys, particularly from lamb and beef, are rich in B12, also chicken liver. And then red meat, so beef, lamb, veal, also chicken, turkey, all fish, eggs, dairy. These are great sources of B12. The only non-animal sources of B12 would be foods that are fortified with B12. So like nutritional yeast, for example, flakes that you can buy in health food shops and, you know, sort of put over your food or use it in cooking. But this wouldn't really be enough to get to optimal levels and keep optimal levels for good health. So vegetarians and vegans really do need to get their levels of B12 checked regularly and make sure they supplement accordingly. So symptoms of low B12 are the ones I mentioned already, like low mood or depression, fatigue, low energy, muscle aches and weakness, but also confusion, memory issues, balance issues, so difficulty walking as well, or noticing that you're starting to walk a lot slower. That can again be other reasons, but that is one of the symptoms of B12 deficiency, maybe shuffling instead of walking. So we tend to see that a lot amongst the elderly. So people above 60, for example, you might see shuffling, people in their 80s, for example. So if you know anybody or yourself is having these symptoms, it's a very simple test to do. Don't miss a B12 deficiency in yourself, in your children, in your parents, loved ones. There's really no need because it can be corrected. So how can we test? First and foremost, you can ask your GP to run a B12 blood test for you, which is usually going to be part of a complete blood count. If you explain that you've got some of these typical symptoms that I've mentioned, then your doctor shouldn't want to ignore that. Most of them are very good and they just want to rule out a B12 deficiency. These days, there's also do-it-yourself at-home options. So you can use companies like Medichex. This is a finger prick blood spot sample. You just do it at home. They send you a kit. You take the blood sample and you send it back to the lab for analysis. And then they send you the results within about a week. There's other ways to test. So you can do urine tests, which isn't as common or easily accessible. But this is a urine test marker called methyl malonic acid, or MMA for short. So if MMA is elevated in the urine, it suggests low B12. Whereas in a blood test, if that B12 marker is low, then it suggests low B12. So it's just the other way around. But the MMA urine test specifically looks at, will kind of give us information about a particular form of B12 called adenosyl cobalamin. So adenosyl B12. So it's helpful to know, because then if you know that you're low in adenosyl cobalamin, then you know that you could buy the supplement that's in that particular form. Or you can get supplements that are a mix of regular cobalamin and adenosyl cobalamin, which can be helpful as well. But you don't have to worry so much about getting your hands on this test. A simple blood test will be helpful enough. I just wanted to give you all the information. B12 can also be tested in a test for homocysteine. So high homocysteine is a pretty good indication of low B12, and actually correcting a B12 deficiency can then help to bring down the high homocysteine. The simple B12 blood test, either with your GP or company like Medichex, is, as I said, helpful enough though. Now, for people with more severe deficiencies, it might be that they need B12 injections. So, you would just speak to your doctor about this after testing. So let's just have a look at the people who are at higher risk of B12 deficiency after what we already said, where, vegans, vegetarians and the elderly, but people with low stomach acid. So this can apply to anybody. This is very common because age, stress, not chewing properly, perimenopause, eating in a rush or eating on the go, all of these things can decrease our levels of what's called hydrochloric acid. So this is essentially stomach acid. So it's the acid that's produced in our stomach in response to smelling, seeing, preparing food. And once that food is swallowed, after hopefully a really extensive chewing process, once that food is swallowed and it hits the stomach, it should be bathed in lots of lovely stomach acid that helps to neutralize the food in case there's any bacteria on there that we don't want. But it also helps to support the breakdown of that food, particularly the protein portion and particularly the absorption of B12 from that food. So PPIs, also anyone who's on any kind of heartburn medications, will also reduce stomach acid and hinder that B12 absorption. So It's just really important that we are aware that we need healthy levels of stomach acid. And if we are stressed, burnt out, we're not chewing properly, we're eating in a rush, we're on any kind of heartburn medications, we could have low levels of stomach acid, which can hinder our absorption. So I see this a lot in people who have very good diets, rich in quality animal foods and good fats with low, and they have low B12. And it's usually one of the reasons why is because they just are not making enough stomach acid. Also, people with celiac disease or Crohn's disease, where damage to the lining of their small intestine hinders B12 absorption. In cases of what's known as pernicious anemia, which is an autoimmune condition where the immune system attacks the stomach lining and reduces the production of intrinsic factor, which is a protein essential for B12 absorption. People who have had gastric bypass surgery or removal of parts of the stomach or intestines for weight loss or cancer treatment, for example, because these procedures reduce the surface area available for nutrient absorption, which then affects B12 uptake into the cells. Vegans and vegetarians, or people who just aren't eating enough animal foods in good quality, frequency, amounts, but remember, we do need to be able to absorb it as well. And anyone on the oral contraceptive pill or injection or implant, as that medication can deplete B12. And there's a whole list of other medications that can block or deplete B12 as well, which I won't go into. You can check with your pharmacy or check online for your particular medication. So how does B12 work in the body? So B12 is important in two crucial areas. So one is to help a compound called succinyl coenzyme A. You don't need to remember that. It is just a particular compound that B12 helps this compound get into what is called the Krebs cycle, which you might remember from school. I don't know. The particular form of B12 that does this is the adenosyl B12, adenosyl cobalamin form I mentioned earlier. So you can get this particular form in a supplement. And the Krebs cycle helps you make ATP, which is the energy made in the cells and for your cells to do the thousands of important things that they need to do for you to have energy and feel good. Then the other form of B12, you'll see this as methyl cobalamin, not just cobalamin. It means it's the methylated form, the more active form of B12. Methyl cobalamin specifically works in the methylation cycle, which is essentially a set of chemical pathways that helps hundreds of enzymes do their job properly. So this form of B12 is associated with your nervous system, your muscles, your detoxification processes in the liver, your red blood cells, your DNA synthesis, and a lot more. Both forms are important. So adenosyl B12 and methyl B12. So adenosyl cobalamin, because remember cobalamin is the technical term for B12, and methyl cobalamin. So both forms are important. And some quality B12 supplements come in both forms, usually in liquid or sublingual form. So something that you just place under the tongue and allow it to dissolve in case we're deficient in both forms. But we just wouldn't really know that unless we're going to do a blood test and an MMA test, the urine test. But like I said, we don't have to go there. The blood test will be more than enough. And actually just maybe supplementing with just methyl B12 first and methyl cobalamin, maybe testing levels again, if they're still not good enough or you're not feeling much better, maybe you could try a supplement that's got a mixture of the two. So this is why if your B12 is low, it's going to impact so many systems in the body, because both of these different forms of B12, they act on so many different pathways, enzymatic pathways in the body. So, you know, correcting a deficiency will really help you feel so much better in so many ways. Now, other forms of B12, other than this methyl cobalamin and adenosyl cobalamin, are cyanocobalamin, so cyano B12, that's C-Y-A-N-O. This has a small molecule of cyanide attached to it, hence cyanocobalamin. So it's B12 with a small molecule of cyanide, which doesn't sound good, but it has actually been deemed safe and it's much cheaper than the other two forms. Research has shown that it can increase B12 levels, but the problem with cyanocobalamin is that we don't really want to be adding even a small molecule of something like cyanide into our lives when most people today are already overburdened with toxins and some sort of, other kind of pressure on our liver, and our system just doesn't need any more toxicity, especially from our supplementation that we're going to be using every day, which is only supposed to do good things. So this is why using cheap, you know, high street cheap supplements isn't helpful. For the most part, you do get what you pay for. You really need to make sure you're using supplements from high quality labs, high quality brands that will only use high quality forms. They're not looking to use the cheaper forms because sometimes they can just end up doing more harm than good over time. The other form is known as hydroxycobalamin, so hydroxo-B12. Considered a natural form of B12, it can convert into the adenosyl and cobalamin forms in the body without the addition of that cyanide molecule, which is great. So the hydroxocobalamin form would be definitely preferred over cyanocobalamin. But if I specifically want someone to be taking the adenosyl or methyl form, then you know, I wouldn't use the hydroxo form. So in my practice, I do tend to only work with the methyl cobalamin and adenosyl cobalamin forms, as these are the two active forms, meaning they do the proper work in the body as soon as they get there and they don't need to be converted first into the active form, because what if you can't, you know, convert it very well? So if you're experiencing any of the symptoms I've talked about, or you know somebody close to you who is, particularly any of the elderly people in your life and people who aren't, you know, just aren't eating enough animal products, get your B12 checked. It's a simple blood test to ask for, or to source yourself via, like I said, somebody like Medichex. So to recap, symptoms you might be experiencing that could suggest low B12 are low energy, fatigue, muscle weakness, muscle fatigue, depression, irritability or anxiety, neurological symptoms like poor memory, confusion or memory issues that can potentially mimic dementia, very common in elderly people. The fact that it's possibly a B12 deficiency. Numbness and tingling in the hands and feet, that can be due to nerve damage, which can be caused by unaddressed B12 deficiency. Balance problems like issues when you're walking, issues maintaining balance, a feeling of breathlessness and dizziness when you know you shouldn't be breathless, especially during sort of low level physical activity. Heart palpitations, these can all be a sign of low B12, so get checked. And a reminder that some of these symptoms do overlap with those of perimenopause, so it's really key in perimenopause more than ever that we don't just chalk everything up to estrogen or progesterone, that we are also looking at these other imbalances and investigating them. So I hope that's been helpful. And as ever, any comments, feedback, questions, my email address is in the show notes. My Instagram handle where you can DM me is in the show notes. I'd love to hear from you. So I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
If you found this episode helpful, then please share it with anyone else who you think could benefit. And consider leaving a rating and a review, as this will help the podcast to reach and help more people. And if you need more guidance on your own health journey, you can grab my free guide, 6 Steps to Mastering Your Hormones in Your 40s, over at francescaliparotti.com, where you can sign up for your free copy. Or you'll also find the link in the show notes.